I desire your prayers this morning, I desire that God would bless and work that the thoughts that he would have to be shared this morning, again, would be presented in a way that he would have them to present, to be presented. God knows where each of us is along the journey and the path of life, and sometimes we don't know. You know, there may be those here in attendance that stand in need of what God has for us, but there may be some that may be listening online. I don't know, but what an endeavor to be faithful to give to you what God has given to me this morning. Thought this morning is responses.
Amen.
And this is it's going to be several things, by the help of the Lord, I want us to consider. And it's all going to be centered around a very familiar parable of Scripture. But before we get into that, I want to think about this in a natural sense.
Yeah.
Something that all of us, no doubt, have experienced in our lives. When's the last time maybe you were at home and somebody rang your doorbell? Or maybe they didn't ring. Maybe, you know, maybe they just knocked on the door. What'd you do? You know, you have a choice as a homeowner to decide what you do when somebody knocks on your door. Maybe, you know, you went to the, and I'm going to reach back a little bit because I know technology nowadays is a little bit different.
Right.
Maybe you went to the door and you looked through the peephole. Well, you say, wait a minute, no. That's years ago. No, what you probably no doubt did is, no doubt many of us have the little cameras by our front door, so you don't even have to go, you don't even have to get up.
Right.
You just pull up the app on your phone and say, well, let me see who's at the door.
Yeah.
And then you have a choice to make, don't you?
Yeah.
When someone's there at the door, you're not obligated. I mean, people can tell most likely, generally, if somebody is home, if there's a few cars in the driveway, they have to make an assumption that, well, I think somebody is there.
Yeah.
But you know what? So what is that? So there's two situations going on here. You're on the inside, they're on the outside. And then maybe you've experienced this too, going else to somebody else's house. But, you know, you have a choice, don't you?
Yes.
Maybe you look at the app on your phone or whatever it is, and you see who it is, and you say, well, I'm not going to answer today.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's somebody you recognize, maybe it's not. Hopefully it's just somebody you recognize, you let them in. But,
right.
You know, but you have it, you can say, well, I'm not going to answer.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe it's children sometimes, and maybe you say, I don't want to answer today. You know, that's a choice that
we all have, right?
We're inside. It's our home, so we can choose whether to answer the door or not. But what do you do if they keep on knocking and they keep on ringing? You still have a choice. I mean, somebody's going to be waited out, right? Either they're going to get tired of knocking and ringing, or you're going to get tired of them doing that, and you'll go to the door and see what's going on. But the point being is that we have a choice in the matter.
Yes.
Right? And us just not doing anything is that's a reason. So we have a choice to whether we're going to respond to that doorbell or that knock. Right?
Yeah.
And by us not doing anything, is that's a response to it, right?
Yeah.
All right. So now we think about these kind of decisions that we make naturally speaking,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
And I'm going to ask a rhetorical question. It's a question that we ask from time to time. Do things that we do in life, do they affect us, our spiritual life?
Yes.
They absolutely do.
Yes.
Right? And I'm going to give one other example that we're all very, very familiar with as well. You know, all of us, most of us, have these things, don't we?
Yeah.
You know, it used to be, back in the day, and I can say that, right? The phones, they used to be just in your house.
Yeah.
Right? And if somebody called you, if you weren't there, you didn't answer, right? And then maybe you had a answering machine.
Yeah.
You have to go to Goodwill somewhere nowadays to find an answering machine, wouldn't you?
I mean, that's even if you have a house phone nowadays, right? But that's how it used to be. The idea that somebody didn't answer, then they weren't home. But then, you know, it changed now, answering machines, and then we carry a phone around with us. Somebody can get a hold of you anytime they want, can't they? You still got a response that you can make, right?
Yes.
Do you have to answer?
No.
Sometimes you look at it and you say, no, I'm not talking to you right now. Or you know what? Maybe you'll say, oh, yeah, I'm not answering, but I'm going to call them back.
Right.
I'll call them back later. You ever forget? And now it's even gone beyond that now, because we can call somebody, and then if they don't answer, what do? We send them a text message, don't we? Mm-hmm. Or we see, and if we understand we don't get a response back right away, we end up, that's how it is. And sometimes somebody will send you a message, and you can be in the middle of something, and I'm going to respond back to them when I get a chance, and then couple days go by. Oh, I never responded back. I got distracted. Something happened. So again, it's just these are natural things that all of us deal with. And we have to be careful that these mindsets don't go over into spiritual things. I want us to, so when we think about a response, a response is either written or a spoken answer. And it's an answer, right? And then we understand that that answer is some type of action that takes place. And we know that if there's no action that takes place, then that's a response too.
Yes.
So again, I want us to look at a familiar story. And I want us, as we read about this story this morning, think about the responses that took place. And I want us not only to think about the responses that took place, but also the other responses that could have happened in this situation. And the reading this morning is a long passage, and I feel like for the context that I need to read all of it. So I just follow along, please, this morning in your Bible. Turn to the 15th chapter of Luke. And this was a parable that Jesus was given. And we'll begin reading at the 11th verse. I'm going to read down through the end of the chapter. Again, I apologize this morning for the long passage, but I want us to get the background and the essence of this, and then we'll have a focus on several of the scriptures. And he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, he said, Father, give me the portion of my goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And then he came to himself, and he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son, make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and he came to his father, and when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now his eldest son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he asked him what these things meant. And he said unto them, thy brother is come. Thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. Yes. And he answering said unto his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I may make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, and hast killed, and thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. I'd like to begin this talk this morning with a focus on son number one. And let's go back now and look at this a little bit closer in verses 17 through 20. So we understand what's happened here, right? So there, these two sons, the one son took all that he had and he left. And he was gone and he was away from father's house. And while he was gone, right? It says here in the 17th verse, so he had lost everything and he's in there now with the swine. And it says here in the 17th verse, and when he came to himself, there was something just, his circumstances of life, he just began to ponder and think about them, and he said, what am I doing here? There was some dialogue that was going on in his mind, and he was just wondering, all these things that have gone on in my life, I've made some decisions, I've made some choices, and now I'm here in this condition. What am I doing? Amen. So he came to himself, right? And he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare? My father's got servants that they got leftovers that they're throwing away, right? Sometimes we eat them. Sometimes they get stuck in the fridge and then they get thrown away. He's realizing, what am I doing here? Why am I treating? My life is it's a mess. I'm in this predicament. But I know my father's got servants made well off, far more well off than I am. What am I doing? My father has servants, and he said, they got food to spare, and I'm eating husk. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He said, I'll arise.
Yes.
Something in his life, he said, okay, this is just too much. I'm going to get up now, and I'm going to go back to my father.
Yes.
And I'm going to say to him, Father, I have sinned against him.
heaven
yes.
and again and before thee, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Mm-hmm. So you know, it's wonderful that he had these thoughts in his mind. He came to himself enough to begin to ponder in his mind, what am I doing? Am I going to stay in this condition in my head, or am I going to do something about it?
Yeah.
So in his mind, he had already worked out. You know, we do that sometimes, don't we? We figure out in our mind before we have to do something, I'm going to figure it out. This is how I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
So in his mind, he had this dialogue with himself. But you know what? That's wonderful that he had that in his mind. He had to do something about it, right?
Yeah.
He had to have some kind of response in terms of, I know what, I've made it up now, but now I got to think there has to be some action behind it.
Yeah.
So he said, now I'm going to go. So it said he arose. He arose and came to his father.
Yeah.
So he came back. So in all the things that was going on in his life, you know what, he could have looked, no doubt he looked at his situation. And he said, I'm in this situation because of my own doing.
Yeah.
As he was, you know, again, this conversation maybe that was going on in his mind, I brought all this on myself.
Yeah.
But even in that dialogue, he's like, but I can do something.
That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah, I've done this. And you know what? I've been away. I've been gone. Maybe he thought in his mind, you know what? I've been gone too long.
Yes.
I've gone. What am I going to do now?
Yes.
You know, maybe there was another. This son, he made all those that dialogue that was going on in his mind, and he made the decision to go back.
Yes.
Right? I'm going to live myself here. But you know, there could have been a different response that he had.
Amen.
Yes.
That other response could have been, I've wasted all this. I've been gone so long. I've been away for such a long time. I've gone too far out.
Yes.
There's no hope for me.
Yes. Right.
There's no hope for me. There's nothing that I can do. If I try to go back, my father, he's not even going to receive me.
Right.
And, you know, this is another thing. That's the another response that he could have had. All is lost for me.
Yes.
I've made a mess of my life and my situation, and there's no hope. I'm just stuck here, and there's nothing that I can do, so I'll just stay here eating husk with the swine until I die.
Lord,
that's a response.
Right.
That can you imagine? If the story would be a little bit different, wouldn't it?
Yes, Lord,
but that could be a response. And we think about as the enemy works with souls,
Lord,
he gets them in situations, and they look at their lives, and they think, and he begins to just pile on them
right.
and tell them, oh, see, all this you've done,
right.
it's all your own fault. It's all because of you, and now there's nothing that you can do.
Lord,
it's helpless for you.
Have mercy, Lord.
I want you to know that the enemy, Brother Henry talks about this. He's not only a liar, he's the father of lies.
Right? Amen.
Right? So, no doubt, maybe it doesn't say here in the parable, but maybe some of those thoughts was in his mind.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe that's some of the things that he went through. Oh, but I'm just so thankful that he chose a response that he did.
Yeah.
That he didn't say, oh, no, it's just there's no hope. He said, no, I'm going back to Father's house.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back to where. And it doesn't matter what I have to do, I'm going back.
Yes,
amen. If I have to go crawling, I'm going to go back.
Yes.
Oh, but you know what it took for him? It took some humility, didn't
yes.
he?
Yes.
He had to recognize the condition that he was in and know that there's something better for me.
Amen.
Yes.
There is hope.
Amen.
You know, don't let the enemy discourage you. Anybody that may be in a situation that they seem like the world just piled on them, I want you to know while there is a lot.
table.
Yes.
He arose and he came to his Father.
Yes.
And God, in his love and in his mercy, you know, he came knocking, didn't he?
Yes.
God came knocking on that son. And I know it's a parable, but you understand the analogy here. God came knocking and he responded. His response was to run to God.
Yes.
He could have went the other way, continued on the journey that he was going, but he said, no, I'm going to make a 180 and I'm going to go back to God.
Yes,
you know what? And this is another trick of the enemy. Oh, I'm not ready yet. It's too bad. I got to cross some I's. I got to dot some T's. I got to get this organized. I got to get this right. That's a trick of the enemy. When God calls on you, run to him. You don't have to worry about trying to make everything a perfect situation.
Amen.
The perfect situation is that God is knocking on your heart.
That's right.
And you need to come towards him and not run away.
That's
from
right.
Him. When he's knocking, answer the door. He didn't say that you got to be all lined up and lettered up and everything has to be perfect.
That's right. Let God fix you.
What does it say in Matthew, the 11th chapter? And the 28th through the 30th verse.
Come unto me.
He said, come unto me.
All
ye that labor and are heavy laden.
And I will give you rest.
Take my yoke upon you. And learn of me.
I am meek
and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke is
life.
He didn't say, I need to wait for the perfect opportunity. Jesus said, he said, come unto me. Are you burning down? Are you heavy laden? He said, come. That's all he said. He didn't give any special circumstances. You needed to have this in order and that in order. He said, come. Are you heavy laden? Are you burning? He said, come. He said, come up to me, and I'll give you some rest. I'll give you rest for your soul.
Amen.
You know, that's what that son in this parable, he had to come to that situation. I can go back to Father's house. I know there's some refuge there.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise God.
Oh, but there's a response.
Yes.
Yes.
What is the response?
Amen.
All are invited to come.
Yes.
And all are promised rest. That's what the scripture says. That he said, come unto me and I will give you rest.
Yes.
But how many are receiving it?
Yeah.
How many choose a different response? How many decide, oh, I just can't. What are people going to think about me?
Man.
Does it matter?
No, it won't.
We're going to talk about the people thinking about you here in a little bit.
Right.
But you know what the most important thing is? God.
Yes.
God Almighty took time to visit with you.
Yes.
He's created, he's allowed the circumstances of your life to be what they are to get your attention now.
Yes.
Now come towards him and get some rest.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
You know, there's a verse in Jeremiah that talks a little bit about this. And it's a different response that was given. Jeremiah, the 6th chapter and the 16th verse.
Thus saith the Lord.
Thus saith the Lord.
Stand ye in the way.
Stand ye in the way.
And see.
And seek.
And ask for the old.
And ask for the old paths.
Where is the good way?
Where is the good way?
And walk therein.
And walk therein.
And ye shall find rest.
And
for
ye
your soul.
Shall find rest for your soul.
Amen. Amen.
But they said.
Oh, but this was a response.
Right,
but they said.
We will not walk there.
We will not walk
dirty.
That's what he wants.
Yes.
God is saying, come.
Yes.
Come unto me.
Yes, he is.
And he has waiting with open arms.
Yes.
He's offering rest for your soul.
Yes.
And yet and still, souls are continuing. They look at that and say, no, that you do not. They said, we will not walk therein. What does that boil down to? Just think about how many souls can be lost just because of just, the writer said, a doubt, a downright willfulness, which is being stubborn.
Mm-hmm.
Just allowing the enemy and his thoughts and his tricks to deceive a soul, to think, I can't do it.
Oh, Lord.
When God is waiting with open arms.
Yes, Lord.
When he comes knocking, in Hebrews, the 3rd chapter, the 15th verse, it says, while it is said, today,
yes,
if you hear his voice,
yes,
harden not your heart.
Amen. Yes.
You know, going back to that parable, you know, it said that that son, he came to himself.
Yeah.
You know, he had to make a decision right then and there.
Yeah.
You know, God, in the day that you hear his voice, harden not your heart. He could have said, well, I've had all these good thoughts in my mind. I haven't worked out exactly what I'm going to do, but I'm not quite ready yet. Who's going to say that there's ever going to be the same opportunity?
Amen.
It's not. We're just hoping and presuming on the mercy of God.
Lord,
presuming,
yes,
that God is going to bring that back. All the encouragement this morning, when you hear his voice, harden not your heart.
Amen.
You know what that lets us know is he may come back. His voice, he may come back knocking. Oh, but the tenderness, he might not be as tender.
All right.
You may not have the same kind of thoughts that you had the first time around. So what happens then, when God knocks, and when we don't respond, then our heart gets a little bit,
yes,
harder.
Yeah.
And it just makes it more difficult,
yeah,
for God to be able to penetrate through. Oh, that's a sad place to be in.
Yes.
In one place, it talks about having their conscience seared,
yes,
with a hot iron.
Yes, Lord.
You don't want to be found in that place.
No.
Man.
So if you don't know God this morning, my encouragement to you is come.
Yes.
Come unto him.
Amen.
He'll give you rest.
Yes.
Let your response be to run towards him,
yes,
and not run away from him.
Amen.
He's given an opportunity. Respond to him in a way that would be in the best interest of your never dying.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, what about the saints?
Yes, that was.
There was another brother.
Yes.
Man.
What about us? Let's go back to Matthew. Or Luke, I'm sorry, 15th chapter. We'll look at verses 28.
And he was angry.
Wait a minute. So this is the other brother. His brother was gone. He was gone. They thought, I don't know how long he was gone, but he came back. And Father was happy and rejoicing. But the brother, he was angry.
And would not go in.
He wouldn't even go in to join the celebration to welcome his brother back home.
Therefore came his father out.
So the father, in his love and his mercy, and his pity and compassion, came out to him.
Yeah.
And entreated him.
Entreated him. You know, sometimes parents, we have a sense. We know when something's wrong.
That's right.
Right? And if we have that, if God gave that to us naturally, what do you think about him as a spiritual father?
Right.
Do you think he knows when everything is not right with us? He knows when we're troubled, when we're discouraged, when different things that have come along
right,
have
out for us.
Please.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for your love and your mercy and your compassion that you extend to us. So the Father came out.
And he answering said to his
he
father.
He answering the son said to his father.
Lo.
Lo.
These many years.
Many years do I serve thee.
Neither transgressed I at any time
thy commandments.
And yet thou never gavest me a kid.
Yes, thou never gavest me a kid.
That I might make merry with
that
my friends.
That I might make merry with my friends.
But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living,
which hath devoured thy living with harlots,
thou hast killed for him
the fat calf.
And he said unto him,
Son,
thou art ever with me. And all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry. And be glad. For this thy brother was dead. And is alive again. And was lost. And is found.
Thank the Lord. So here we have the brother. He said, there are several things in this underline. I've served thee many years. I've been with you for many, many, many years. And I've endeavoring to serve you and live for you. And I had maybe this desire before you that you haven't answered. And then I look over and see how this one come and you blessing him in this way. And you blessing him in that way. And I'm looking and saying, what's going on here? God, I have a problem. Why is this taking place like this? You know, God allows the circumstances of our life.
Yeah, right.
And you know, there are times that things come along that might be in the opposite, maybe, of what we think we need. Mm-hmm. And it may be contrary to what we want or desire. And you know what? These different things come along, and do they disturb our peace like this, brother?
Oh, Lord.
Do they rock us?
Help us, Lord.
Yes. Lord, do I want to have that kind of response? Here one was lost, and now he's found, and there's rejoicing and gladness and happiness, this one come in and everybody go and greet him and say hello and how you doing? And I've been here every Sunday for the last 7 Sundays and nobody said, I'm just this out of enemy words.
Yeah. Right.
What kind of response are we going to have?
Amen.
Do we complain when our lives, situations, if you look at our life and you look at somebody else's life, why do I have to go through this? Why me, Lord? Is that our response?
That's this what this brother did. He was like, I got a problem. I don't like what's going on here. And I'm not going to join into it. Because you didn't do that for me.
You didn't bless me in that kind of way. He ran off and spit everything. And now he's coming back and you're all happy and rejoicing. And I've been here all the whole time. You know what I took note of? In that 31st verse, he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me.
Amen.
Thy help is thine.
Amen.
Thank the Lord.
Do we recognize what we have?
Amen.
Instead of looking at something the rough this way, look at it the other way. I'm so thankful that God has blessed me in this way. He's blessed me in that way. He's blessed beyond measure on this side. He's blessed beyond measure on that side.
Amen.
He's been good to me.
Yes.
And I thank you, Lord. Yes. And I know that if I continue to serve you and live for you, all that I have is yours.
Amen.
I can tap into what you have.
for me.
Yes.
Thank the Lord.
We should not allow life to rock us in the way that it can. The songwriter said, nothing can my peace disturb.
Free
and happy as a bird. Right. Is our joy and happiness in God based on what he does for us? I know the scripture says he will that we would be in health and prosper as our soul prosper. But can we rejoice even when things maybe are not going the way that we think they should go?
Oh, this brother said, I don't like what's going on. He was, oh, but don't pick God in his love and his mercy. We found in that kind of condition, he still reaches out for us.
Yes.
He says, I have something better for you, child. You know that brother could have had a different response. His response could have been, oh, in one of the verses said, be merry. Rejoice and be happy. You know, he could have had a different attitude, a different response to this situation. Oh, brother, I'm so glad you're home. I've been missing you, and I'm so glad you're. Come on in. Come on back in. I'm joining in with you. I'm so happy. It's so wonderful to see you. Maybe think about what did it, maybe he could have thought in his mind, what did it take for him to come back?
Right.
What did it take? How difficult must that have been in his situation and the condition that he left to come back? Come on. This is what our response should be. Especially souls that are, come on, I rejoice. We're going to look at some scriptures here. What should the response should have been? 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter and the 18th verse. Again, so we think about it in two different scenarios. Think about it as it relates to this parable and the older son, but also think about our own lives. Right? And as things go on in life, different things come our way, how do we respond to those conditions, those circumstances, the things that come along that just, as one brother termed it, life be life.
Right.
I believe I can't mention that one time. When life happens, how do we respond to it?
Yeah.
What's 1 Thessalonians 15 or 5:18
in everything give thanks.
Amen.
In the blessings and the good times, when everything, when I'm on the mountaintop, when everything is going right, and everybody's loving me and showing their love towards me, then I give thanks.
No.
It said everything.
Yeah, great.
What does everything mean? Everything means everything, right?
Yeah.
Lord, help us.
Help
me, Lord. I know we're endeavoring to strive to get there, right? But the encouragement this morning is we should have more of these kind of responses than the other ones.
Amen.
I know we're human, and you know, sometimes things hit us difficultly, but by the help and by the grace of God, we should have more responses along this line.
Amen.
In everything, give thanks.
For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus
concerning you. You know, one writer said this: gratitude and obedience are inseparably connected. So I can have gratitude and thanksgiving even when things don't go the way I think they should go.
All right.
Even if God would have me to do something that may be out of my comfort zone, that maybe is against my own will, that there's a blessing in it because that in me endeavoring to do God's will, in obedience to Him, that I can still be thankful and grateful.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. I know this. If I had a choice, what didn't Jesus do the same thing? He said, if possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done.
Amen.
So we can have, in by the help and by the grace of God, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What about Philippians 4:4? What does that one say?
Rejoice in the Lord always.
Rejoice in the Lord always.
Again I say.
And again I say.
Rejoice.
Rejoice. Rejoice. Why? Why can I rejoice in the Lord always? Because I realize what He's done for me.
Yeah.
Even in difficulties of life, when life happens, I can still recognize I'm saved. Thank God that I'm saved, that I'm encouraged and still endeavoring to live for Him, and also know that I have the privilege, by the help of the Lord, like the brother mentioned last Sunday, about casting all my cares upon Him.
Yes.
So when the things come along that will disturb me, that will disrupt me, that I can cast it on the Lord and say, Lord, I need some help and strength from You. That's why we can rejoice in the Lord always.
Yeah.
And again, I say rejoice. Think about how different that reunion would have been with those two brothers.
Mm-hmm.
If that one brother had just had a mind of think, oh, I'm so thankful that he come back.
Yeah.
I'm just going to rejoice and be glad because he was lost and now he's found.
Thank the Lord.
He's come back home. That's what God has for us. That's the response that He wants us to have to life's circumstances. To be able to, even in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of trial, to be able to rejoice.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that it's easy, but by God's grace and help, we can have that.
Yeah.
And I'm endeavoring to have it by His strength. What about when we look around and we see God blessing other people in many, many different ways? And we look at our own life and we see, oh, God is blessing them. Can you be happy for them? And what does Romans 12:15 say?
Rejoice with them that do rejoice.
Rejoice with them that do rejoice. And weep with them that weep. Rejoice. So I can be joyful and happy when I see God's hand, when I see God blessing my brothers and my sisters, wherever they may be,
Amen.
Even those brothers and sisters in Adam.
Amen.
Right? We talked about several Sundays ago about God's righteousness reigning on the just, or maybe it was last Sunday. He reigns on the just and the unjust.
Yeah.
So sometimes those that don't even live for God, they receive benefits.
Yeah. Yes.
Not like spiritual benefits, but just life, things in life that happen for them. And maybe they're happening for them, but they're not happening for us. Can we rejoice?
Help us, Lord.
Can we rejoice with them?
Yes.
Rejoice with them that rejoice.
Amen.
And weep with them that. If that brother had said, I'm so happy to see you. Oh, come on. Maybe if he would have had that attitude, if that would have been his response, maybe he would have said, Dad, why don't we do this too? Let's do this and do that. This isn't enough. This is a joyous occasion. We need to do more. Let's really celebrate. My brother's come home. He's come back.
Amen.
We can rejoice with them that rejoice. Take, the writer says, take a lively interest in the prosperity of others.
Yes.
Can we do that? He said, rejoice with them that rejoice. Again, I recognize that we're human, but you know God can give us the grace and the strength.
Yes.
That's true.
this kind of response when things come along as we journey through this life. We have the power, the right response. So as we consider this parable this morning, we all are on a journey of life.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Maybe there's some that is in similar shoes as the prodigal son. Maybe you've gone away from the Father.
Yes.
And He's made an opportunity. He's given, He's created situation, as my brother would say, situation and circumstance to allow you to get back.
Yes.
Yes.
What is your response
yes, Lord.
This morning? Are you going to run toward God?
Amen.
Or are you going to keep running away from
Him? Oh, Lord. Lord, Lord.
Where are we? Individually. You know, are we like the other brother? Are we the brother that we're troubled with life, when things aren't going in the direction that we feel like they should go? Our peace is disturbed. What is our response? All of us go through different things individually, right? Where are we along the journey and the pathway of life? As we go through life, what is our response to the things that we go through?
Yeah.
Is our response a response of, thank you, Lord. Lord, I need some more strength and help, but thank you.
Amen.
I will still rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Or are we like the brother, Lord? Are we struggling?
Oh, yeah.
God can help us.
Yeah, sure.
He can help us. You know, as we think about our responses to life's conditions, we're either getting closer to God,
man,
or we're getting further away.
Lord.
Yes. So wherever I am along the journey and the pathway of life, my response to my circumstances, am I getting closer to God? Am I getting further away? My desire, by the grace and by the help of God, is that we all move in the right direction.
Yes.
And the right direction is getting closer to God.
Amen.
Lord, help me. You know, we say this all the time. We preach to ourselves up here. Lord, help me. I got to live life too. Right? There's no special, just because we're preachers, there's some special pathway. No. Life happens to us too. And you know what? I'm required by His word to live like He said I ought to live. So Lord, help me to be found in that place. As that my response is a response that will draw me closer to You and not far away. I appreciate Your time, Your attention.